नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्वबाद्रिषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी यं प्राव्रजन्तमनुभेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैपायनादिरहकातरा जुहाव पुत्रेति तन्मयतयोधरवो विनेदुस्तं सार्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि। Hare Krishna. So we are reading today Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 15. Bali Maharaja conquers the heavenly planets, text 29-31. Ojasvinam Balim Jetum Na Samartho Sti Kaschana Bhagavatvidha Bhavanvapi Varjaite Swaram Harim. Vijyashyanti nakopyenam brahmateja samedhita nasya shaktah punah startum krita krinta tasya yatha janaha tasmin nilayam utsrijya यूयं सर्वे त्रि विस्तपं यातकालं प्रतीक्षन्तो यातक्षन्तोर्विपर्ययः। टेक्स्ट 31. एष विप्रबलोदर्कः सम्प्रत्युर्जितविक्रमः तेषमेवाप्यमानेन Sanubandha vinankshati Eshaha. This Bali Maharaja Viprabala Udarka, flourishing because of the Brahminical power invested in him, Samprati, at the present moment, Urjita Vikramaha, extremely powerful, Tesham, of the same Brahmanas, Eva, indeed, Apamanina, by insult, Sa Anubandhaha, with friends and assistance, Vinankshati, will be vanquished. So, translation of the verse 29. Neither you nor your man can conquer the most powerful Bali. Indeed, no one but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can conquer him, for he is now equipped with the supreme spiritual power, Brahma Teja. No one can stand before Yamaraja. As no one can stand before Yamaraja, no one can now stand before Bali Maharaja. Therefore, waiting until the situation of your enemies is reversed, you should all leave this heavenly planet and go elsewhere where you will not be seen. Bali Maharaj has now become extremely powerful because of the benedictions given him by the Brahmanas. But when he later insults the Brahmanas, he will be vanquished, along with his friends and assistants. Purport by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki. Bali Maharaj and Indra were enemies. Therefore, when Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, predicted that Bali Maharaj would be vanquished, when he insulted the Brahmanas, by whose grace he had become so powerful, Bali Maharaj's enemies were naturally anxious to know when that opportune moment would come. To pacify King Indra, Brihaspati assured him that the time would certainly come for Brihaspati could see that in the future Bali Maharaj would defy the orders of Shukracharya in order to pacify Lord Vishnu, Vamanadeva. Of course, to advance in Krishna consciousness, one can take all risks. To please Vamanadeva, Bali Maharaj, risking defying the orders of his spiritual master Shukracharya, because of this, he would lose all his property, yet because of devotional service to the Lord, he would get more than expected, and in the future, in the eighth manvantara, he would occupy the throne of Indra again. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Esha vi prabalo darkah sampratyurjita vikramaha tesham eva pamane na sanubandha vinangshati. Neither you nor your man can conquer the most powerful Bali. Indeed, no one but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can conquer him, for he is now equipped with the supreme spiritual power, Brahmateja. As no one can stand before Yamaraja, no one can now stand before Bali Maharaja. Therefore, waiting until the situation of your enemies is reversed, you should all leave this heavenly planet and go elsewhere where you will not be seen. Bali Maharaj has now become extremely powerful because of the benedictions given to him by the Brahmanas, but when he later insults the Brahmanas, he will be vanquished along with his friends and assistants. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamine Dinamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Goravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Sitarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we are studying now this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, which proves the necessity of accepting Guru. And of course, the necessity of rejecting Guru as well, depending on the situation. So both principles are there, and we should be very clear about both principles. The first principle is extremely important, and again Vedic literature proved this point. Chandogya Upanishad contains several stories about the necessity of Guru. In Chandogya Upanishad, the famous statement is there, Acharya Van Purusho Veda. You can only know the spiritual knowledge if you have Guru. Acharya Van Purusho Veda. You will have the knowledge, no problem, but you need to have Guru. The story in Chandogya Upanishad is about Satyakama. Satyakama is a great hero of Upanishads and his guru Gautama Rishi. And Satyakama came to him, and Gautama Rishi sent him to herd the cows. And he said, you should herd the cows for 12 years or whatever number of years. You have double the number of the cows, and then double the number of the cows, and then the double of the number of the cows. And Satyakama was so nicely serving his guru that all the demigods came to him to give him the spiritual knowledge. First, the Vayudev came to him, and then Agnidev came to him, and Indradev came to him. And they all gave him benedictions and spiritual knowledge. And then when Satyakama came in front of his guru, he was effulgent, because the spiritual knowledge gave him so much strength. In the similar way as here, we can see that Bali Maharaj has become extremely powerful because of pleasing of his guru. So this Satyakama, he came in front of his guru, and his guru asked him, where did you get this strength? Where did you get it from? And he said, yeah, somehow or other all these demigods came to me and gave the benedictions. He said, no, this is illegitimate. You should get it from me. You cannot get it from them directly. You have to get it through me. And then he imparted him the spiritual knowledge. And exactly the same story in the same Upanishad is being retold in regard to the disciple of Satyakama. Satyakama had a disciple of, his name was Upakoshala. And this Upakoshala was a brahmachari, and he was serving his guru. And his guru, one after another, would give spiritual knowledge to his godbrothers. And his godbrothers would go home. And this Upakoshala remained in home of his guru, and somehow or other guru didn't give him the mercy. And ultimately, guru went away without giving him the spiritual knowledge. And Upakoshala was still serving the sacrificial fire. And Guru Patni, the wife of his guru, called him, Upakoshala Brahmachari, come here, take prasadam. The food is ready. And he said, no, I cannot take food. What is the use of taking food? I cannot take food. My guru didn't give me his mercy. He didn't give me his knowledge. What is the use of eating this food? I'm sick and tired. And he continued serving his guru because his guru gave him this order to serve the sacrificial fire. And ultimately, you know, and he was determined. He said, I will just serve my guru here, and I will starve, and I will die. Because what is the use of living? And ultimately, Agnidev came out from the fire and said, you know, what do you need? Eat something. He said, no, I need spiritual knowledge. Take it. And Upakoshala became very happy. And then his guru returned, and his guru again noticed some strange changes in his disciple. You're too effulgent. What happened? He said, Agnidev gave blessings to me. How I cannot be effulgent? Agnidev himself bestowed his blessings upon me. And guru said, no. This is not proper. You should get it from me. So this point is stressed again and again and again, because if you get the knowledge in improper way, there is a great chance that you will misuse this knowledge. Because again, the knowledge is the power. The knowledge gives you the power. The knowledge gives you spiritual power and material power as well. Knowledge is extremely powerful, but when you get this knowledge without proper service attitude, proper service mood, then there is a great chance that you will misuse this power, and ultimately you will be ruined by this knowledge. This very knowledge, which can make you very powerful, which will make you very powerful, will be the cause of your ruination. Another story, which is there in Mahabharata, illustrates this point beyond any doubt. This is the story about, what was his name? Yavakri. Yavakri was the son of great Muni, Bharadvaj Muni. And Bharadvaj Muni was a friend of Raibya Muni. They were good friends. And Raibya Muni was very knowledgeable. He knew Shastra. He knew Shastra very well. And people respected him very much. And the father of this Yavakri was a simple ascetic. He was just doing tapasya. He was tapasvi. And they were good friends and there were no problem. But somehow or other people would respect only Raibya Muni and didn't pay so much respect to this simple Bharadvaj Muni. Of course, he's not so simple, but still. But Yavakri became very envious because this Raibya Muni was very affluent. People would give him donations. He would do all kinds of yagyas, and his sons, his two sons, were very also very rich. So this Yavakri, he asked his father, you know, what's happening? You know, why they're so rich and we're so poor? And he said, there's no problem, you know, it doesn't matter. In the eyes of God, there is no difference between rich and poor. Just do whatever you are supposed to do. But this Yavakri, he decided to get the knowledge by all means. He just got this point that I will become powerful if I get the knowledge. But because he was trained as an tapasvi, he couldn't do anything. So he decided that I will fast and I will stand on one leg and I will sit under the fire and, you know, I will somehow or other I will get this knowledge. And he became very powerful by this austerity, by this tapasya. So much so that even Indra became a little worried about this. And he came to him in the form of an old brahmana and he said, what do you want? He said, I want knowledge. Get out of my way. I'm doing my austerity. I want knowledge by all means. And then this Indra, he sat down on the bank of Ganga and he started throwing sand. He would take a palmful of sand and throw it in the Ganga. And this ultimately, for a long time he was throwing sand in Ganga. And ultimately, Yavakri became curious. And he asked, what are you doing? What's the meaning of your throwing sand in Ganga? He said, I want to cross this Ganga. And I need dam to cross the Ganga. So I'm doing this, you know. And not only I want to cross the Ganga, I want to show all the people way how to cross Ganga. So I want to do dam by throwing sand in the Ganga. And Yavakri started laughing. And he said, you're a fool. How you can make dam, you know, this is Ganga. It's powerful river. And you're just throwing little palm full of sand. How you can do this? He said, yeah, you're right. It's not possible. In the same way, it's not possible to get spiritual knowledge by doing this childish austerity which you're doing. In the same way, you are trying to do this completely stupid thing. Just go to your guru, serve your guru, develop the service attitude. When the service attitude will be there, you will get knowledge. There is no problem. The knowledge will flow to you from your guru. What you are doing is illegitimate. But this Yavakri was very stubborn. He said, no, I'll do it by all means. I'll do it. And I, you know, this, all this, you know, saying guru, 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 this is, you know, I'm Ritvik. I don't need it. This is all propaganda. So he didn't like this proposal. Indra said to him, and it was Indra himself, Indra showed him, he said, I can give you the knowledge, but you will be ruined by this knowledge. Because again, the knowledge without the proper service attitude, because the knowledge without proper humility is very harmful, is very dangerous. Even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hastini. If you have Vidya, you have to have Vinaya. Vidya without Vinaya, Vidya without the character, the proper humility, is dangerous. And we know that knowledge has this capacity of making you proud. Whoever has some little knowledge becomes very proud. It's just natural outcome of being knowledgeable. Therefore, again, the only proper way to get knowledge is through the proper channel, by serving the guru. And therefore, Vedas stress it again and again and again that this is the way to get the proper knowledge. This foolish Yavakri, he did get the knowledge. He did get the knowledge which even, you know, Rabbi Muni didn't have. He got very powerful, a lot of knowledge, and people were respecting him. But what happened, at one point he became completely overwhelmed by lust. He saw the daughter-in-law of Rabbi Muni, and he forced her into illegal sexual relationship. And, you know, Rabbi Muni cursed him, and he was ruined totally. Why? Because of the same reason. This knowledge, if it comes to somebody who is egoistic, who has this false ego, very strong false ego, the knowledge will only feed his false ego. The knowledge will be the food for false ego. And my ahankar will become bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And ultimately, when you become proud, you fall down. And that's exactly what happened with, well, you know, we know it's not exactly what happened with Bali Maharaj, but we know that when somebody becomes very powerful, he becomes proud, and the pride leads to fall down. Actually, the pride doesn't lead to fall down. Pride means fall down. Pride means you're fallen. Pride means you completely lost your proper perspective of who you are. Because how we can be proud? We are tiny, small, insignificant, little spirit souls. And any possession which we have is due to the mercy of other people. Also, in Vedanta Sutra, there is a very interesting section which is specifically about this point, how to get the knowledge. And the point of this section, of this Adhikarana, of the third part of Vedanta Sutra, is that you have to do it not by sadhana, but through the mercy of Guru. Specifically, there is a comparison. What is better? How to get the knowledge? And we all know that these two things are there. From one point of view, from one hand, it is said that you have to do your sadhana. But there is a mercy of Guru at the same time is there. So what is the relationship between the two? And in this section of Vedanta Sutra, it is the Purva Paksha. The opponent's view is that you have to do sadhana. And sometimes we can see this attitude in devotees, you know, I will do this sadhana, I will chant, you know, 192 rounds every day. I will, you know, I will do this chanting by all means, you know, foaming at my mouth. And, somehow or other I will get this spiritual knowledge. So it is said there, no. By Guru's mercy. And by comparing the two, it is said in Vedanta Sutra, by comparing the two, it is said that Guru's mercy is more powerful. You have to do sadhana, no doubt about it. Sadhana is necessary. And it is said in Vedanta Sutra, yes, you have to do sadhana, but Guru's mercy is more powerful. Ultimately, this mercy is even more necessary than sadhana. Sadhana is necessary to get the mercy, but ultimately we have to be very clear about this point that we are dependent on the mercy, especially on the path of bhakti. The path of bhakti depends on the condition of our ego. The path of bhakti is very difficult because of this very reason. In any other path, you can exercise your ego by doing yoga, you know, by doing all these difficult asanas. You can just see these people who are sitting there in this, you know, putting this leg under this ear and this leg under this ear. They're very proud. Look at me. I can put this leg under this ear. You know, because the very foundation or the very notion of this yoga sadhana is somewhat based on this ego. And therefore, you know, you have to do it and, you know, you have to do it. In the path of bhakti, you cannot do anything. You become completely useless. I mean, useless in the proper sense of the word. In Brihad Bhagavatamritam, Srila Sanatana Goswami, he explains what is humility. He says, humility is the attitude of somebody who has all the good qualities, but at the same time is very humble. Humility is not the attitude who doesn't have any qualities and very humble. Humility, because what is the use of being humble if you're useless? You know, humility is the attitude of somebody who is worthy of respect, but at the same time he feels himself that I'm insignificant and I'm dependent on the mercy. I'm made of mercy. I'm not on my own. All these good qualities which I have is not my qualities. They're just the qualities of my guru. In the life of Ramanujacharya, there was a very beautiful episode which proved this again. He had a disciple. Of course, he was not his disciple. He was sent by his disciple, his cousin brother, Govinda. He was sent by his guru, Shaila Purna, to serve Ramanujacharya. And he was serving Ramanujacharya so nicely that other god-brothers of him were glorifying him. He would serve him so perfectly that at one point all his god-brothers sat around him and said, you know, you are the perfect servant of our spiritual master. Please teach us how to serve spiritual master. And they were glorifying him and glorifying him and glorifying him. And Govinda, to their surprise, said, yes. Very good, very good. Very good, very nice. Indeed, it's you know, all my qualities are very good. And all the disciples, other disciples of Ramanujacharya, they became a little doubtful. You know, he's good, but a little proud. Something is not really proper here. So they complained to Ramanujacharya. We glorified this Govinda, and Govinda said, yes, you are right, yes. And then Ramanujacharya called Govinda and said, you know, what's going on? What happened? Why did you say this? You know, I know you're a good servant, but you know, it's not proper to be proud. He said, when somebody is glorifying me, I know who I am perfectly well. Nobody can fool me. I know how fallen I am. No matter how much they glorify, I very much know how fallen I am. If they glorify me, I always think, you know, if I get these qualities, where did I get them from? Only from you. So when they glorify me, I say, you're glorifying me very rightly because I got these qualities from my Guru Maharaj. By glorifying me, they're glorifying you because who I am? I'm nobody. And therefore, Sanatana Goswami, he also says this same thing. You know, if somebody has all good qualities, but at the same time he keeps this proper attitude of dānya, I'm still fallen. I am fallen. There's no doubt about it. I am fallen. And if this attitude is there, this dānya will be the cause of love of God. And that's the only cause of love of God. If we have this proper attitude, the attitude of humility, then this attitude of humility will be the cause of love of God. And when we get the love of God, then the love of God will make us even more humble. So he says that this dānya and prema are connected with each other as karya and karana, of each other. That the cause and effect of each other. The dānya causes us to get the love. And when we get the love, it is the cause of even more of us becoming even more humble. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this famous verse, Trinada Pisuni Shinatarura Pisahishnu Naamani Namanadana Kirtaniya Sadahari. And therefore, these verses, they show this, how important it is to enter into the relationship with Guru. How important it is to get the spiritual strength and spiritual power from the mercy of our Guru. But at the same time, as I said in the beginning, this verse shows that at one point we have to reject our Guru as well. So how to reconcile these two things? The both things are necessary. We have to know when to accept Guru, how to accept Guru, how to serve Guru, but at the same time we have to be very clear. We don't have to be fanatical. Srila Prabhupada says that, you know, Shraddha means faith, and faith primarily in the spiritual master and in the process of bhakti. And accepting spiritual master is the first item in the path of bhakti. Tasmat gurum prapadyanta jigyasam shreyotama. Srimad Bhagavatam stresses this point. Mundaka Upanishad stresses this point. You have to find the guru. You have to find proper guru. If you jigyasu shreyotama, if you want the highest good for yourself, you have to find guru. But at the same time, both Mundaka Upanishad and Srimad Bhagavatam, they very clearly delineate what is the quality of proper guru. And if somehow or other the guru doesn't have this quality, then you have to reject him. Even if you accepted him by some mistake or by some misunderstanding, it happens. So we have to be very clear, if the guru is proper, we have to serve him by all means. If guru is improper, we have to reject him. And the qualification of guru is actually very simple. Mundaka Upanishad says this, that Saguru Maeva Bigachet, Srotriyam Brahmanistam. Two qualifications only. Srotriyam Brahmanistam. Srimad Bhagavatam gives three qualifications of proper guru. Shabda Brahmani Nishnato, Para Brahmani Nishnata, and Upashamashraya. But basically the same thing. The same description is there. And if we take Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he says the same thing. Gyanina Statva Darshana. This just two qualifications which define guru. One is Gyani. Gyani means he has to know Shastra. Shrotriyam. How does he get the knowledge of the Shastra? Through hearing. He has to get the knowledge of the Shastra from his guru. Not just by reading books. So, Shrotriyam. Therefore, Mundaka Upanishad says, Shrotriyam. He has to hear it again and again from his guru. And by this means, he has to become knowledgeable about the Shastras. Guru has to have knowledge of the Shastra. Sometimes devotees say, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was illiterate. He was illiterate. Now, it's not necessary to have the knowledge of the Shastra. It is necessary. To become a guru, you have to have knowledge of the Shastra. In one sense, bhakti is not dependent on the knowledge of the Shastra, because bhakti is independent. So again, how to reconcile these two things? Bhakti is independent on the knowledge of the Shastras. The service attitude is bhakti. If you are serving, but at the same time, first of all, if you claim to be the guru, you have to know the Shastra. No doubt about it. And even for bhakti, knowledge of the Shastra is necessary because it gives you refinement. Shastra, you may get bhakti. Bhakti is the service attitude, no doubt about it. But to refine this bhakti, this service attitude, Shastra is extremely necessary. You have to know Shastra. You have to know Shastra, and there is no point of not stressing it. You have to know Srimad Bhagavatam. And especially if you serve as a guru, therefore, Krishna says Gyaninas. Therefore, Mundaka Upanishad says Shrotriyam. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam says Shabda Brahmani Nishnataha. Shabda Brahmani Nishnataha means that you have to be expert in Shabda Brahman. Shabda Brahman has to be known to you. But this alone is not enough. This alone, just dry knowledge of the Shastras is not enough. Therefore, both Mundaka Upanishad, Krishna and Srimad Bhagavatam stress another point. Para Brahmani Nishnato. Brahmanishtam. The guru has to have relationship with Brahman. He has to have spiritual experience. These two qualifications is the main description on the main lakshana of a guru. Knowledge of the Shastras, but at the same time, the real spiritual experience or real bhav. Because this is what guru is supposed to impart to you. What he is imparting? He is imparting knowledge, there is no doubt about it. Knowledge of the Shastras. But at the same time, he is imparting his mood. He is imparting his attitude. So if he is just imparting bookish knowledge, there is no point of it. What we have to get from him, we have to get the happiness which he experiences in entering into this relationship with Brahman. Brahmanishtam means that he has direct relationship with Brahman, and therefore he is happy in this relationship. And therefore the third quality which is there in Srimad Bhagavatam, Upashamashrayaha, is that he is very peaceful when it comes to dealing with the matter. Upashamashrayaha, he is the abode of peace. He took shelter in this abode of peace. He is not very easily disturbed by these waves of material energy. That's the external manifestation of his direct connection with Brahman. Because you cannot really externally know whether somebody has the spiritual experience or not. You can very clearly understand if somebody has knowledge of the Shastras. That's quantifiable. But how you check the spiritual experience of a person? To check the spiritual experience of the person, you have to see how he behaves in this world, whether he is overwhelmed by all these passions, the anger, the greed, lust, and so on and so forth. So if these three qualifications are there, or two qualifications in reality, then he is guru. If these two qualifications are not there, he is not guru. Very simple. And you have to reject him. When Shukracharya manifested his greed, Bali Maharaja said, "Very nice, thank you very much. Goodbye." Because the greed was obvious. The greed is a material passion. So this betrayed the lack of real spiritual experience. If somebody has spiritual experience, why he has to be greedy? There is no point of being greedy. So, very simple. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, for the sake of spiritual knowledge, you have to take the risk even rejecting your own guru. But again, you should not accept your guru blindly, and in the same way, you should not reject your guru blindly. Both things are completely foolish. And usually, devotees in ISKCON do both things at the same time. First, they blindly accept guru, and then they blindly reject guru. You know, we can see this again and again and again. First, they blindly, very sentimentally, without really, checking the qualification, they accept guru, and then sometimes very blindly they reject guru, without any reason. Just again, driven by sentiment, by some sort of misunderstanding or false propaganda, and we can see this again and again and again. Therefore, it's so important to know Shastra. Ultimately, the Guru is the one who teaches Shastra. And we have to know Shastra first and foremost. It is said, Srila Narottam Das Thakur, he says, sometimes we say Guru Sadhu Shastra as three main pramanas for us, Guru Sadhu Shastra. But if we take the original verse from Narottam Das Thakur, where he formulates these three points by which we can be completely safe in our spiritual path. He says first Shastra, then Sadhu, and then Guru. Why? Because Guru has to teach Shastra. Who is Guru? Guru is somebody who is teaching Shastra, and Guru is somebody who is teaching Shastra according to the way of previous Sadhus teach Shastra. Not on his own. Therefore, Shastra is the first place. Sadhu is the second place. And Sadhu is previous Acharyas. When Narottam Das Thakur says Sadhu, Sadhu doesn't mean people in orange clothes with beard. Sadhu means the previous Acharyas, the predecessors of our Guru. And then Guru. And Guru is defined by these two things. He is transferring this knowledge from the Shastra in the way how the previous Acharyas transfer this knowledge. Then he is a guru. And if he is doing this properly, then one should not reject him. By rejecting him, you're committing serious offense. But if he is not, you have to reject him. By not rejecting him, you're committing serious offense. You will not get God. So this is the science, and it's in one sense a simple science. It's very clear science, very clear-cut science. But at the same time, you have to have little expertise in understanding this. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, you have to accept Guru, and then when the need is there, you have to reject the Guru. Both things are necessary for your ultimate success in spiritual life. And basically it means that you have to accept proper guru. And who is proper guru? Gyane prayasam udapasya namante eva jivantisan mukharitan bhavadiya vartam stitasito sruti gatam tanuvan manopir. The real guru is somebody who speaks Shastra. The real guru is somebody who tells you about Krishna. The real guru is somebody who himself rejected this false attempt of understanding God by sheer knowledge, by theoretical knowledge. Gyaneprayasam. Udapasya namante eva, jivanti san mukharitan. The guru is somebody who has understood God by his service attitude. By serving his guru, by listening his guru, by repeating what his guru has told him. And in this way, he has become a guru, and therefore, guru himself repeats this. And you yourself, take this attitude, gyane prayasam udapasya namante eva. What should I get from my guru? Not just theoretical knowledge, but the complete harmonious understanding of who Krishna is. By accepting from him knowledge of the Shastra and by imbibing his mood or service attitude and the mood of humility. This is what we're supposed to do, and I'm supposed to finish this class now because it's 9 o'clock. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Do I have time for any questions? Yes. Well, there is many types of Shastra. There is Shastra which teaches Karmakanda section of the Vedas. I mean, the Shastras is the ocean of Shastra, right? There is definitely Shastras which teach you the Dharma, Artha, and Kama. You know, there is Kama Shastra, there is Artha Shastra, and there is Dharma Shastra. Dharma Shastra, there is 10 main Dharma Shastras are there, starting with Manu Samhita, which teach you preliminaries of spiritual life, how to behave properly in this world, so on and so forth. There is Artha Shastra. Artha Shastra, it's Kautilya Artha Shastra, which is existent now. Artha Shastra and Niti Shastra, if you take Chanakya Pandit or whatever, Kautilya is of course Chanakya Pandit himself. Niti Shastra teaches you how to gain the power in this material world and how to gain money. How you should enter into dealing with other people. So this Artha Shastra. And then Kama Shastra is of course there. And Kama Shastra we know, Vatsyayana Muni wrote Kama Sutra, and there are some other Kama Shastras which are there. And there is Moksha Shastra. So roughly speaking, there are four kinds of Shastras. And we should take definitely Shastras which belong to the highest category, which is Moksha Shastra. And Moksha Shastra means Adhyatma Vidya. Adhyatma Vidya means spiritual knowledge. And out of this Moksha Shastra, Shastra which gives you the knowledge of liberation, ultimately Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest. Vibhata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the tree of the Vedas. So ultimately Guru has to have knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the main qualification of the Guru.
Thank you, Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, my question.
Yes.
The question is, like, as you said, that the Guru's mercy is more powerful than our sadhana. So how can you come to know that yes, Guru's mercy is on us every time? And if we don't have, then how to get that?
Guru's mercy manifests in Guru's mercy is coming by our service attitude. If we manifest the proper mood of service, then Guru's heart will be melted. So in one sense it's not so difficult, you know. If you sincerely try to serve your Guru, then the Guru's mercy will be there. Whether it's there or not, ultimately there is a very clear-cut criteria again. If you have Guru's mercy, if Guru is pleased, it means that Krishna is pleased. If Krishna is pleased, you're pleased. If you're happy in your spiritual life, it means that Krishna is pleased. And why Krishna is pleased? Because your Guru is pleased. So if you're not happy in spiritual life, it means that something you're doing wrong. And it means that your Guru is not pleased with you. So it's very simple. If you're happy, Guru is pleased. Because Guru is happy. And if Guru is happy, Krishna is happy. And if Krishna is happy, you're happy. Yes. Sadhana is also service, but at the same time we have to understand, and in this particular sutra of Vedanta Sutra, I don't remember it by heart, it is said that you have to do sadhana, but you have to understand that mercy of the Guru is more powerful. So by doing sadhana, we should do it in such a way that to obtain the mercy of the Guru. So this is the proper way of doing sadhana, because we can do sadhana in a very egoistic way. Look at me, how powerful I am, how austere I am, you know, I'm fasting, you know, Nirjala Ekadashi every day. So, and Prabhupada says, no, don't fast. Take prasadam, be normal. Prabhupada was not into this, you know, inflating our false ego, you know. So by doing sadhana, we should do it in such a way that it's pleasing to our Guru. Because sometimes we can do sadhana which is displeasing to our Guru. That can be seen too. Of course it's proper. How to check it, you know, it's, if Guru just speaks what he thinks, it's one thing. If Guru speaks from Shastra, it's another thing. It's very clear, you know. He refers to Shastra, he knows Shastra, he connects all his points with the Shastra. He's not just speculating something, you know, which he likes. Not some, you know, free interpretation. He always comes back to the original point where everything is coming from. So you may yourself not know Shastra, you know, otherwise you're Guru yourself. If you're sadhaka, But still, it's very clear somebody is speaking from the Shastra. And especially, you know, there is a way of, you know, if somebody speaks and he can connect different Shastras to prove the point, you will get more wholesome or holistic understanding of the Shastra. So sometimes people may have fragmental knowledge of the Shastra. They know a little bit here, a little bit there. But, you know, when Prabhupada speaks, for example, if we take Prabhupada, he takes all different Shastras, and he always quotes Shastra, right? He hardly says anything himself. He just quotes one Shastra after another by stringing it all together. And then when you hear Prabhupada, you get the very wholesome and holistic knowledge of Shastra. You understand that different points of Shastra, they all speak about the same thing. They all ultimately point to the same thing. And then when you get this sort of knowledge, you will, with this knowledge, you will get the impetus, you will get the strength. Ultimately, Guru is representative of Balaram. Balaram gives you the spiritual strength. So by listening Guru, you obtain this spiritual strength, whereas sometimes we listen to somebody and he quotes different Shastras and you become only bewildered. You ultimately don't know what to do. He says this and this and this. This is all from Shastra. But somehow or other, the effect is detrimental because you only develop doubts by listening to him. So when Guru speaks, his speech has a power, and this power is pushing you in the proper direction. It helps you, it gives you enthusiasm, it gives you the strength to continue your sadhana. This is the presentation of Shastra by proper Guru. It gives you impetus to continue with your sadhana and gives you the strength to overcome all the obstacles in your path. Yeah, definitely. Guru doesn't have to know Kama Sutra, for example. It's not really necessary. There was this famous story from the life of Shankaracharya when he was debating with this Karmakandya guru, Mandan Mishra, and he defeated him completely. And then his wife took charge and he said, now you have to defeat me because wife is a better half of his husband, of her husband, so you have to defeat me. And she said, now let's have a debate on Kama Shastra. And Shankaracharya became a little bewildered about this. So, but anyway, he learned something. And ultimately became victorious. But we don't have to follow the footsteps of Shankaracharya. So, yes, Guru has to know Adhyatma Shastra, starting from Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Shastra. Although Prabhupada in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he says that Guru has to have knowledge of all the six schools of Vedic philosophy. Why? Because otherwise, what are the six schools of Vedic philosophy? The six schools of Vedic philosophy is six ways how you become bewildered in this world. So, and because this bewilderment is there in the disciples, the guru has to know how to dissipate their doubts about all this kind of confusion which may be there. To bring somebody to the point of accepting Srimad Bhagavatam and pushing them on this path, you have to know aparavidya as well, to a certain extent, to convey properly paravidya or spiritual knowledge. So therefore, Ishapanishad also say that you have to have paravidya and aparavidya. You have to know ignorance and you have to have proper knowledge. Otherwise, you know, you will be bewildered by this ignorance. Okay, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for your words about Guru. And I was thinking, you say that we learn that Guru is the fifth step to go toward Krishna. And we learn also that to see Guru as an ordinary person is a really wrong to our heart. In this attempt to see Guru as an ordinary person, maybe we unconsciously go to another extreme to consider the Guru as a very perfect and every kinds of knowledge in the material world. Prabhupada himself reject this idea that Guru is perfect in everything. Guru is perfect, Guru is representative of Krishna, but I would like to hear about you, how to understand these points, both of them with a mature understanding that Guru is perfect, but not perfect in such a way we think perfection is.
Once Hayagriva Prabhu approached Srila Prabhupada. Hayagriva was a professor of English literature, and he was first editor of Prabhupada. And he asked Prabhupada, how do I understand that Guru is perfect if the whole day I'm only correcting your mistakes? The only thing, this is my service, to correct your mistakes in English. So how do I understand that Guru is perfect? Prabhupada gave an answer to this. He said, Guru is perfect because whatever he does, Krishna accepts. because of the proper attitude which the spiritual master has, even if he does something which from material point of view may seem like a mistake, he is doing this with a complete, and because Krishna is Bhava Grahi Janardana, he only accepts Bhav. Because Guru, whatever he is doing with proper Bhav, with proper service attitude. Therefore, Krishna accepts it. And we have to understand the personality of Guru in the same light, so to speak. He may be, from material point of view, he may make little mistakes here and there. It's not a problem, but we have to see his overall attitude, his overall bhav. And if we can see this overall bhav of proper spiritual master, you know, we will not be mistaken by his little mistakes. We will not make a new philosophy out of his mistakes. We will not elevate his mistakes to the level of, you know, new philosophy. But at the same time, we will never try to denigrate him to the level of ordinary mortal being. We will have this proper thing, you know. Therefore, it's so important to understand the bhav of a spiritual master, the mood of the spiritual master, and to be connected with this mood, not to be connected superficially with either his, you know, material appearance or whatever. To understand the mood is very important, the mood of service. I guess that's it. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri Shri Krishna Balarama ki jai. Shri Radha Shyama Sundara ki jai. Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. Gaura Premanandi.